Good afternoon. You're listening to News Talk 94.1, Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have longtime entrepreneur Susan Schultz in the studio today from Broadway Boutique Mall. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Tiffany.
Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So you own Broadway Boutique Mall, which is located where?
107 West Broad. In the downtown section across from the depot.
So right across from the depot. And you have been there
for 15,
forever.
Almost 15 years.
So 15 years. You have seen...
Oh, a lot come and go.
I can't imagine the changes you've seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at one time, I was the only... let's see, I think it was myself and the Tyco restaurant. We were the only only things on that whole leg of the store of Broad Street.
Wow.
And of course we had...
Were they just empty buildings other than that?
Empty buildings for rent, yeah. Trying to get something in there, people closing, people opening.
So was Cream City was in there too?
The Cream City building was there, but it kind of came and went with a couple different things in it. Cream City that you know now, which is the ice cream store, has not been there, well, I don't know how long, maybe 10 years.
So was the sign?
The sign has been there forever, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. You just always think that the Cream City means the ice cream.
Well, it's where they manufactured ice cream years and years ago, and it was an ice cream manufacturing company or dairy or whatever. And they, when they went out of business, then they just left the sign up there, and there was a pottery store. There was, I think there was an art store in there at one time. There's just been a number of things. And then finally... Cream City ice cream came and opened
Wow,
up.
Interesting. So are you from here? Are you?
Oh, goodness, no.
Okay.
Well, so, 38, 39 years now. So
you're kind of a Cookvillian.
Mm-hmm. Cookvillian at heart.
Yeah, well, I feel like we all are. I've only been here 6 years, and I feel the same way. But so where were you? Where'd you grow up?
Buffalo, New York.
Oh, okay. So you're a northerner.
Very much so, yeah.
And so what brought you down here? Almost 40 years ago.
Well, weather. Yeah. I mean, it's Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
And taxes and just an incredibly great lifestyle. When I got out of my car, the very first thing I thought, this is where I was born to be.
Yeah.
It's just a fabulous, fabulous area and good to raise kids.
So were you, what did you do before? Have you always been an entrepreneur? Have you always been in your own business or what were you doing?
Oh, gosh. No, not really. I mean, I've really only worked for somebody else maybe 2 years out of my entire working life.
Wow.
But I was also lucky enough to be a stay-at-home mom for a while. But then when I found myself single with two kids to raise, I just started. In fact, I was in radio for a while at a different radio station, local.
Yeah.
And just started doing whatever I could do to make money. And one thing led to another. But there's always opportunity and just looking for it.
Yeah. So you, 15 years ago, you decided that you wanted to open your own business.
No, actually, I had already had several other businesses before that. Everything from manufacturing to embroidery to estate planning and, you know, financial analysis. I've done quite a few other things. And actually, Broadway Boutique Mall came about because I had a building. I bought this building for a totally different purpose.
Okay.
I also spent a few years in the design business and bought the building to do a design as a design firm. And that didn't quite work out. And so anyway, suddenly I have a building. It's big. It's empty. I can't afford to put stuff in it to sell because, I mean, it's huge. It's a big building.
Yeah.
And just came up with somebody suggested to me, as a matter of fact, that why don't you just rent out some spaces to other people? And what a great idea. So I just got in there and started drawing up a floor plan, got some friends in to help me put up some walls.
Wow.
And we just kind of went from there. Opened in January. Great time to open retail, right?
Yeah.
January 2005. Actually, I was afraid that at my grand opening, I wouldn't have enough vendors to, you know, impress anybody. So I made my family take booths. And my mother, we made her a tea booth, and we got my daughter to buy some stuff and put it in, even grandkids. You know, we had booths all over the place that was family. And by the time we opened, I had rented so many spaces that I had to kick my family out.
You thought you needed them.
I thought,
yeah. Yeah, and then they got the boot at the end. We're going to talk a little bit more in a second about what actually we have going on in the building. Sure. So in case you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We have Susan Schultz from Broadway Boutique Mall. That's kind of a mouthful sometimes. I guess after 15 years, you can probably roll it off your tongue a little bit more. But so what exactly is your business in there?
Okay. Basically, it's a rental. For my point of the business is as a landlady, basically. We've got all kinds of, you know, cubicles and spaces. I try to rent every square inch of the building. And we have vendors that come in and rent their space. The rent is pretty reasonable, and it's month by month. So if they're not happy, you know, they can go, which I'm always sad when they leave. But they can. But yet I still, you know, I have several vendors that have been there the entire time.
That started 15 years ago with you. Wow.
Yes. And literally they set up their, I always tell them that their only obligation is to pay the rent and bring in the stuff for me to sell. And their only obligation is to bring in stuff and put it in their booths, and we set it up for them if they want, or we'll keep it straight for them. But anyway, we have, oh gosh, we have, of course, clothes and purses and jewelry. And then
locally made?
No, a lot of it is bought from the markets, you know, the different markets. But the people.
You know, you have Cookeville stuff or Tennessee stuff.
And then we have a lot of Tennessee themed stuff. We probably have the largest selection of souvenirs anywhere around. I mean, we've got a whole bunch of locally, you know, made stuff and things that definitely say Cookeville or Tennessee. We have a lot of probably about an equal amount of handcrafted things. We have some wonderful, wonderful artistic people. Anything from fabric arts to pottery to painting to, you know, just
how many
whatever.
Vendors do you have in the store?
Right now I've got over 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many do you remember 15 years ago? How many you started with?
Probably 15.
Okay. Yeah.
So it has grown and it changes all the time.
I'm sure as somebody kind of wants to kind of dip their toe in and say, I just want a little bit of space. I just want to see if this will work or not work. It's kind of the perfect place for somebody to kind of figure out whether their business is going to take off or not.
And there's also people that want to keep their day job. You know, if they just have the hunger to, you know, to buy. It's wonderful to go to markets and buy stuff for somebody else to buy from you.
Yeah.
You know, because you get the fun of shopping and then you have the ability to make some money on it. But on the other hand, for people who make things, a lot of times it's really hard to get that out into the public, you know, where people can find you, you know, you overload your family and friends with all your handmade stuff and then the closets start filling up. And then, you know, you've got to either throw it away or sell it. And so they have the...
And it's a lot for people who are hand-making stuff to go out on the circuits, if you will, and try and sell their own stuff, you know, every single weekend, getting out there, marketing their own stuff. And so to be in a place where they can just have their merchandise out, ready for who wants to buy it. And just pay a monthly fee. So where did you get this idea from? Did you see this?
Oh no, it's not a new idea. There's other stores all over the place that do, you know, it's really literally a mall, but in a very tiny, space, you know, instead of being a huge, big sprawling building with, you know, big box stores at each end and everything. It's just a building with small, like little tiny rooms, little vignettes.
Were you able to get some advice on how to run something like this or have the model of how to do, you know, having your own business is one thing, but to manage different spaces and different vendors and all that kind of stuff, how did you finagle through that all?
I'm a trial and error person, but I'm also a problem solver, and it was one big problem to you know, the logistics of it. But it's a really common sense kind of a business.
How much have you changed your business model over the past 15 years?
Very slightly.
Just
tweaked what was right and kind of fine-tuned out some things that weren't, and you know, it's worked because I haven't even raised the rent in 15 years.
Wow.
I mean, it just
And you haven't
worked.
Had to.
No, haven't had to.
Wow.
No. I mean, I get divine guidance in a lot of stuff, so I have to give that a lot of credit. So, it's just, you know, it's worked well, and, you know, it's a good living for me and the people that are there. we get real close, and there's a lot of them that, oh my gosh, it breaks my heart if they leave. But, you know, it's just, it's been a probably the most fun thing I've ever done.
Well, and you're kind of similar to what I get to do at the Biz Foundry. I get to work with all these people starting out a business and really see them be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where you're at, where you have these vendors that come in, and some of them are probably really, really raw, and they don't really know what they're doing. They don't even know if they're priced appropriately. And so
absolutely.
I'm sure they look to you for some mentorship in that mm-hmm. aspect as well. So how do you navigate that of trying to kind of almost mother these vendors somewhat?
That's about it, yeah. Of course, you know, a lot of experience over the years, you know, of being able to, I kind of know most of the time what Cookeville's acceptance would be, you know, as far as price mm-hmm. and product. There's a lot of things that just don't sell in Cookeville. There's a lot of prices you just can't charge in Cookeville. And so we try to keep people, you know, mindful of that. And I've actually had, I don't know, several, probably four, five, six, maybe different ones that have started with me and have gone on to open their own businesses.
We're going to talk more about your personal story in a second. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. This is Tiffany Anton, and we have Susan Schultz. We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Susan Schultz from the Broadway Boutique Mall in. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you.
So you had mentioned that you've done, this is not your first entrepreneurial venture to start the Broadway Boutique Mall. What other things have you done that kind of set you on the path to decide? I mean, so you owned this building, so mm-hmm. were you in real estate for a while?
No.
You just bought a building.
Well, I bought a building
for some other business
for
venture.
For another purpose, yeah.
Had you bought other buildings? Like, that seems like kind of a thing to decide to buy a building.
Well, it was there and it was for sale.
So you're just a risk taker.
A little bit.
You
yeah.
want to jump in and say, hey, I'm going to do this.
Well, like I said, it seemed to be the right thing at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you've always been like this? Do you think as a kid growing up that you just always thought, if I want to do something, I'm going to try it. Like, I'm not going to be held back by what people think or people tell me. Sometimes with myself, I feel like people tell me I can't do that, or they think, oh, you don't have what it takes. It's like, well, that's going to drive me farther.
Exactly. That's the spur. I guess, yeah, because like I said before, I'm a problem solver. And whenever there's a problem come up, I think, okay, I can figure that out.
So you think I feel like people who say problem solver, sometimes it's that math science-y kind of like tinker kind of thing. Do you think you're a tinker and you want to, or do you think you just are a creative thinker and you want to think through problems and kind of come up with creative solutions?
Yes and yes. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm the one people come to and they say, you know, tell us about a great place to eat or whatever. Yeah. And I mean, I'm practically ready to take them there because I want them to have a, you know, just to fix it or to take care of it.
You clearly have a passion for this community this area and being such a staple for downtown for so long. How do you think you figured out how to fit in? I mean, the community has changed, I'm sure, so much in 40 years that you've been here. But how do you think when you first came here, did you figure out how to fit into Cookeville?
You know, it was never difficult. Cookeville is a very warm and welcoming town.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, my first 2 years, I lived in Sparta.
And that was more difficult.
I'm not sure if I can say this on the air. But
I think Sparta's just a little bit more spread out. It's not as...
Well, I was known as the Yankee divorcee at the corner.
Well, Well, and I think it is just a little bit different. You know, when you get a little bit more rural, I think sometimes to me, people are like, well, Cookeville's so rural. And I think, oh, well, it's not compared to some of these other places.
Well,
but
Cookeville, if you look around, I mean, most everybody here is from someplace else, you know, with the hospital and the university and the different businesses that are here. It does draw in.
It's a melting pot now.
But it also, this is where I wanted to be. And I mean, I just fell in love with, well, actually, Sparta and Cookeville. I'm not slamming Sparta. I loved my time there. But Cookeville has been just a wonderful, wonderful place to live and raise my kids.
And build a business.
And build a business.
You know,
and several businesses.
So right. So, you know, so were there other businesses in Cookeville that you had done that people would know?
Yeah. Well, the one that was most visible was Letter Perfect. I started Letter Perfect Embroidery Company.
Where? I feel like I've seen.
That was on Broad Street, just down in the middle of the other end of Broad.
Is that on a building somewhere? That sounds.
It was. They actually sold it. It's the wedding shop now.
Oh, okay.
That new wedding shop.
Yes, but the Letter Perfect was still, it's like, still, it was still on the window, right?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it had been.
I had those letters put there.
Yeah, wow.
And that was, oh gosh, that was way back in maybe 1983, I think I started that. Built that up and then sold it to my partner. And then I went on to do financial analysis.
How long did you have the Letter Perfect place for?
7 years.
And, okay, keep going.
So in 1990, that's when I sold that. Mm-hmm. And then I began a company called First Financial Services, which was not known in Cookeville because it was, you know, all over the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I did financial analysis for petroleum companies and high-tech companies.
Not anything like a lettering company.
Not anything like a lettering company. And did that for about 10 years and actually became a captive corporation under Citgo Petroleum. Everybody's got their, what is it, 5 minutes of fame or whatever. My big 5 minutes of fame was I actually wrote for the White House. The Office of Science and Technology contacted me and asked me for some information on banking practices.
Wow.
And so I wrote them a report or a white paper. And President H.G. Bush... GW, whatever, first one, he actually used one sentence in his State of the Union address in 1992.
Wow, from your paper.
From my paper. But anyway, but that was a good relationship with Citgo then for, let's see, I guess that was about 10 years.
And again, you were based right here out of Cookeville.
I was in Cookeville, worked out of my basement.
Wow.
I had several people come to work every day in my basement.
I think some people, oftentimes people think, even still to this day, and this was the early 90s that you're talking about, people think, oh, you're so limited because you're in this rural area.
No.
But I think Cookeville has really proved there's some amazing entrepreneurs in this area that you don't need to be in the big cities. You can do what you need to do right here.
Well, and the big help, of course, I used to say I had FedEx and fax machine at the time and phones. So it was my, you know, that was my main connection to the outside world. And it didn't matter where I was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've had basement conference calls with some of the biggest banking, you know, companies in the country and presidents of companies and, you know, heads of Citgo Petroleum and the whole thing. And it didn't matter that I was in my basement.
Right. You know, and at that time, there were no video calls, so you probably could have been sitting in your pajamas for all they knew.
We're not going to tell about those times.
So, yeah. In case you're just joining us, we have Susan Schultz from Broadway Boutique Mall with us. And so you had Letter Perfect for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. You've had Broadway Boutique Mall for 15. Why do you think has this been the longest company that you've had?
Yeah, I think it is.
And what do you think has stuck?
I love it. I just absolutely, this is the most fun thing I've ever done.
And what's the fun aspect of it? What?
Oh my gosh.
Is it the people?
The vendors. The vendors are fabulous. We have so much fun. My customers are the most amazing people. I mean, I've actually become really good friends with many, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people that tell me, and it's kind of a mission because I have people every day that come in and say, I was feeling really sad today. I was really down, but I just wanted to come in here because it's so relaxing and I just feel I can just breathe again. Oh, wow. I loved it.
I think that's the kind of the different aspect of what you're doing now is that you get to work with these vendors and you get to, you know, help them build their business. But then you also get to work with their customers who are kind of essentially your customers.
Right.
You're the one that gets to interact with them. So you have two different types of clients and customers that you're dealing with, which is unique to this kind of business model, as opposed to when you were doing a lettering company where you just had customers coming in or whatnot. Right.
Absolutely. Plus, all the pretty stuff that people bring in, I get cherry pick.
I was going to say, so how often is it that you're like, okay, this is my budget, I have to stick to it?
I don't have a budget. It's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, that's the casualty of it, right? That, yeah. You know, especially, do you ever find a new vendor that you're like, oh, I don't know if I can have them in here because I'm going to want to, you know, I would imagine, do you have any food vendors in there?
Oh, yeah.
So I would imagine that can be tough sometimes. Like,
usually, that's not. No, that's not the big temptation.
Yeah, that's not it. What's your favorite thing to...
Clothes.
The clothes. The clothes. Come in.
Oh, yeah. When it comes in, and I mean, it's like Christmas morning.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what's in there.
Yeah. Which, so I guess we were talking a little bit ago before we got on the air about the parking situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I necessarily thought about the fact. So these vendors have to come and unload their merchandise and get into your store and set up their displays and do all that. And that's got to be tough to manage. How do you manage, let's say three people want to come and unload their merchandise at one time. How do you manage that?
I have a back door.
Okay.
And that's why I've just recently put signs out asking people not to park in front of my back door because that's our only in and out, you know, for vendors. And anyway, so, yeah, we try to keep our parking spaces, the few that they are, we try to keep those free for customers. Because really when you think of the amount of retail, restaurants, the businesses that require more than one car at a time out front, that is pretty, it's very limiting as far as parking for people. And, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, young people like you. I mean, they're fine. They can walk, you know, five blocks if they have to, if they want to bad enough. But, you know, you have a lot of people that shop that are elderly, that have, you know, maybe a cane or a walker, and then a lot of people with children. And those streets are busy.
Yeah.
Streets are they're you know pretty constantly busy and little kids trying to cross the street with mom and she's got a stroller and one you know
so much traffic
it's just too much.
Real quick, I'm gonna let you know the first time I ever went into the Broadway Boutique Mall was when the West Side Depot was doing a scavenger hunt. I don't know if they're still doing those, but they were doing those in the winter on Saturdays. And I really hadn't gone into probably half the places downtown, and it was a really great way. So how do you feel like your connection into the community in general is? Do you think that's really valuable for you to be involved in things like that? And
we try to, partly as to support the community, because I think that's really important. But also, selfishly, because there's still an awful lot of people in Cookeville that don't even know that we're there.
Yeah.
And I've had billboards. Like I say, I've got 18-inch letters on the front of my building. And then having been there for so long, I would have expected most people at least knew, you know, where we were or what we were. But, we're still being discovered.
And you mentioned, which to me, the fact that you've been able to stay in business for 15 years, when you've seen how many people closed down on downtown? I mean, you've seen a lot, and yet you've been able to maintain. Mm-hmm. People are still discovering. People who are from here are still discovering you. So clearly, you've gotten some. You've figured out a way, a business model to make this work. So, you know, your success says a lot about what you've done.
Well, to quote one of my vendors, I run a tight shop.
There you go.
Well, or ship or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's you know, it's just really paying attention and to the details and being cognizant of what people want, whether it's a vendor or a shopper.
That insight is probably pretty huge, but I think you fight against the fact that people don't really know much about you sometimes. You mentioned people think you're a consignment shop sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's not it at all. Like, that's not.
Yeah, no, because unfortunately, the word consignment to me always pops up used.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes me think of used things that people like big indoor garage sale.
Yeah.
And that is so not what we are.
Mm-mm.
We are strictly, I mean, each little cubicle is a person's store and it's brand new.
Let me say, the word cubicle almost doesn't, because that's not what it, I feel as though it appears as it's a store. It doesn't appear that everything's sectioned off, you know, when you're just not paying attention and you're just shopping as a shopper.
True, yeah.
You know, you don't see that.
You don't see the walls?
Not as much. You're just, you know, browsing around.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Again, you're downtown Cookeville, across from the depot. Mm-hmm. What are your hours open?
We're open officially from 11 to 6 Monday through Saturday.
Closed Sundays.
We're closed Sundays, okay. but we always get there by 10:30.
There you go. Well, sounds good. Hopefully, some new people will stop in and say that they heard you on the air. Well, thank you for being here today.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
And good luck through your holiday season.
Well, thank you very much.